Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10 with me this morning. Romans chapter 10, again, it's good to see each of you here. I know some of you are struggling with allergies like I am, and yesterday was a very interesting day, to say the least, allergetically. But we're here today. We're going to enjoy the Lord's house. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. Romans chapter 10, we'll be starting with verse number 10. We'll read down through verse 17. We'll pray and get right into the text. Scripture says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, you would teach us now what you want us to know. Lord, we pray that this would be a help to us as your people. Lord, and those who are here today without Christ, may this be the day that they meet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. New believers will often ask me a question like, what is my purpose now that I'm a Christian? In other words, what is it that I'm to do? What is it that I'm supposed to do? What is my place in God's work? And the Bible scatters across its pages servants of God who found that purpose. And this morning I want to help you to identify and understand what the purpose is. Now, all of the servants in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, they lived at different time periods, they had different occupations, they had different responsibilities, but they all had the same common purpose. And here it is, I'm going to give it to you at the very start so you can understand it. Our purpose is to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's the reason why we were here. Joseph was put in prison. And while he was in prison, of course, he was to glorify God and bring honor and glory to God through the dreams that he interpreted. And through that, the power of God was manifested in his life as he was now put as second man in the kingdom. We have Moses in the Bible who led the children of Israel. He was a national leader as he led them across the desert. And each miracle and each event in the nation's life as they were wandering in the wilderness was a witness to the power of God. And Moses was, his purpose was to display the power of God. We have Joseph. Joseph was put in jail. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, he was the one that revealed the power of God through those interpretations. We have others in Scripture like David, who was a politician. And as a political leader over the nation of Israel, he displayed the power of God through the victories and the conquest that was seen in the nation of Israel history. We also have Peter, who was a fisherman, later who became an apostle, displayed the power of God through his witness and everything that he did. We have the apostle Paul, who was an educated man, a doctor, a Jewish leader, who gave all that up to follow Christ. And as he followed Christ, he was a witness to everything that Jesus stood for. And I want to suggest to you today that every one of us, that we are to have a purpose as a believer. And our purpose is not just simply to fill a pew and simply to sit in a classroom and fill our our minds, but it's to be a witness for Jesus Christ in this sin-cursed world. There's no doubt about it that we understand that things have purposes. We're very used to that. Let's look at a couple of pictures, and you tell me, what is the purpose, first of all, of that right there? Can anyone tell me what's the purpose of that right there? To hang clothes, right? To hang clothes. Let's look at something else here. What's the purpose for that? The hammer and nail. All right, how about this picture? What's his purpose? To travel, right? So when you look at that, they had definite purposes. So then what is our purpose? If they have a purpose, what is our purpose? It's to tell others about Jesus Christ. And what I'm trying to figure out is, how in the world do we think that somehow or another that it's not our job, that that's not what we're to do, that somehow or another that that's unimportant, that doesn't mean anything? I don't understand that. Yogi Berra said it this way: if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. And I think that is so true. If we don't know where we're going, if we don't know our purpose, if we don't understand that, even in the medical world, if you go to the medical world, you learn that there's kind of a shift from being a doctor-centered medicine to now it's called interdisciplinary medicine. And that is where it's a team of people. And that team of people, you have the doctor, you have the nurse, you have the housekeeper, you have the psychologist, you have the chaplain, you have all of these different parts within a medical field they call it interdisciplinary medicine. Basically, they work together as a team. Their number one purpose as a team is patient care. And so for us as believers, then our number one purpose in being here is to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. That's what our church is here for. And when our church stops doing that, we are not a biblical church anymore. When we stop as God's people, we are not obeying what God says. Now, I notice here that with that purpose, there are three aspects to that purpose. Let me call your attention to the very first one. If you want to pull out your notes, you can write this down. The very first responsibility that I have as a believer is that I'm to receive Jesus Christ or receive the gospel. The gospel is very clear in the scriptures. The Bible says that that's my very first aspect of my purpose is to receive the gospel. And that means that I understand that. Now, I read about people who live their life with no purpose, and here's what we find. We find many famous people. For example, H.G. Wells, the famous historian and philosopher, said at the age of 61, "I have no peace. All life is at the end of the tether." The poet Byron said this: "My days are in yellow leaf. The flowers and the fruits of life are gone. The worm and the canker and the grief are mine alone." The literary genius Thoreau said these words: "Most men live lives of quiet desperation." Ralph Barton said, who was one of the top cartoonists of our nation, he left a note pinned to his pillow before taking his life. Here's what he said: "I have found few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I've gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world, but I'm fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day," and he took his life. The bottom line is this, that when you have no purpose in your Christian life, you're going to end up nowhere. Your Christian life is going to be empty. And all I'm trying to help us to do is to recognize the fact that really, without Christ, we have no purpose in this life, period. We need Jesus Christ. Every person in this room needs Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that letter A, we're to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Now, the message seems so simple, but yet it's so complicated in our own minds. There must be a belief that Jesus is Lord. Now, that was big in the first century. Jesus had announced that he was the Lord, and people had rejected him. And there's no doubt about it. People, just like they rejected him in the first century, they are rejecting him today. They don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. They don't mind having a God, but not Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this. As I was talking yesterday, I prayed before a motorcycle competition rally here in town among police agencies in the Bay Area. And there were, I think, 30, I don't know, some, there were 42 people that participated. Several agencies were here. And I stood before them and I prayed. And here's what I, and at the end of my prayer, I prayed in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And I told the captain, who is a good friend of mine, he's a good Christian man. I said, I pray in Jesus' name and I'm not about to change it. He said, don't you dare change it. You see, we must acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord. There is no other God. Confession means that we acknowledge the name, the nature, the authority, the power, the majesty, the eternity of the one and the only true God, that Jesus Christ is the one we trust, we depend on. Our faith is in no other, only Him and Him alone. And we must understand that. You see, Paul writes, over in chapter 3, he said these words, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is God, but secondly, we must believe that salvation is in Christ. It's not no other. It's only in Him. Faith leads to confession that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. By the way, this is not a head response. This is a heart response. That I must believe in my heart, that confess that He is the Son of God, that He died for, not just for the sins of the world, but He died for my sin. That He was buried, that He rose again the third day. By the way, the gospel is not just the death of Jesus Christ. It's the fact that Jesus Christ, that He was, not only did He come and die, but He was buried and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Now understand what we're talking about here. That means we do not, and understand, we are not, salvation is not in self-reliance. That is, it's not me trying to somehow or another, trying to work my way up. Salvation is not in a church. It's not a church. We don't trust in a church. And salvation certainly is not in religion, because religion is manward. Christianity is Godward. You might say it this way, it's relational. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that God says the very first aspect of my purpose in being here is to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Thank God that most of us in this room, and I don't know that all of us have, but at least most of us in the room, we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's why we're here today. Thank God for that. Amen? But let me ask you this. Have you received Christ as Savior? I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm not asking you if you're religious, but have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I trust that you have. So one aspect is that of the purpose is receiving Christ. Let me give you the second aspect, that of reporting the gospel. God has sent every Christian, every one of us in this room here, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's some people sitting around and say, well, I don't think God has sent me. Oh, He already has sent you. He's already sent me too. It's our responsibility as we look at it. And how He sends us is letter A. He sends us with a message. Thank God we have a great message. That's the good news, the Bible says. That's what the gospel is all about. It's the message, and the message is that which is clear. I read about a Scotsman that was trying to describe to Ulysses Grant how this game of golf works. And he stood before him on a golf course, and he took the ball and he put it on the tee, and he stepped back, and Ulysses Grant was standing there watching him, and he went to swing, and he swung with all he got, and he missed the ball. Dirt went everywhere. And he tried it again, and he did the same thing. And he did it 6 times. And Ulysses Grant said these words. He said, "Boy, that's a lot of exercise in that game, but I don't really see the purpose of the ball." And you know, a lot of people, that's the way they see it. Christianity is a lot of exercise, but they don't see the purpose of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the purpose of why we're here. He's the reason. We want to brag about Jesus. We want everybody to know about Jesus Christ. We want to spread that news. The Bible speaks of the fact that when we call on Him, that we are believing in Jesus Christ. You see, the message is not a plan. It's a person. Thank God that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for me and you, it's our responsibility. We want to tell everybody. We want to get the gospel out to everybody. By the way, just to let you know, that you can do that without community outreach. In fact, I think we should. I think we should go wherever we are, whether we're, you know, in our neighborhood, or whether we're, you know, at work or wherever, as God enables us. And I'm not suggesting that you lose your job doing that. But I think we should do everything we can to tell others about Christ. And maybe it might be at a lunch during a break time when you're away from your office and you can, where you can sit down and you can talk freely and tell someone about Christ. I certainly think that's an opportunity. And I would jump on that. Maybe your neighbors, invite them over for a barbecue. Tell them, you know, why you're not here on Sundays. You know, that you're, because you're a Christian or whatever. I mean, don't be embarrassed about it. The world's not embarrassed about their sin. Why can't we be proud about the fact we have a Savior? But community outreach is a good opportunity, because what it does is it's a mutual accountability. It's a group. We come together also, and we go out as a team, and we're giving back. You see, really, that is the third part of our mission statement as a church. We're to give back to our community. And giving back is, you know, putting out tracts on doors, or talking to people about Christ, or writing letters, or whatever it is that we're doing, or working through the nursing home ministry. We're giving back to our community. We're telling them about our purpose for being here. And our purpose is not just to, you know, kind of sit on a corner in some building, but our purpose is to go out there and live for Jesus Christ and be a witness for Him. The method is clear. Can I draw your attention back to verse number 15? Look with me at verse number 15. Well, the end of verse 14 says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Now, see, here's the thing. We have the idea that the reason why that we called the pastor is that he might share the gospel. And by the way, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a pastor that doesn't do that. But that's not his only job. In fact, his job is to encourage others to do the same thing in preaching the gospel. Now, let me explain to you how that works, all right? The word preach has the idea to herald, as to make an announcement. In other words, this is not limited to the pulpit. But this means that when I go into community, that wherever I go, that it's not like I stand up and say, hey, I just want y'all to know, I'm a Christian. But it's the fact that when I'm out, that I'm proclaiming, that I'm not embarrassed, that I don't want to hide. I don't want to be ashamed, as Paul writes about. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, Paul says in Romans chapter 1. And for whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. We should not be ashamed, but we want people to know our purpose, that we are believers and that we're sharing this faith with others. That's the purpose. This means that I'm to carry the gospel. I want people to know the reason why I do what I do, the reason why we have a church here, the reason why I'm here in California. Like a lot of people say, well, why are you living in California? You grew up back east. Because God called me to come here to share the gospel. That's my purpose. And by the way, that's your purpose too. That's what your purpose is, to tell others about Christ. And community outreach is just sort of a way which we design. We run it for 10 weeks, and because we know that people's schedules and everything, we run it for 10 weeks, and we take a few weeks off, and then we do it again. And we do that so that people can say, you know what? We go to our church, and we go out, and we share the gospel. We're giving back to our community. That's what it's all about. So let me ask you a question. Have you found your, have you made that your purpose in your life? So the first aspect is I'm to receive Christ. Second aspect, I'm to report Christ. That's what I'm to do. I'm to report it. And then thirdly, I'm to reflect the gospel. I'm to reflect the gospel. That means I'm to live a consecrated Christian life. That means I'm to reflect it. You see, my message will be seen louder by who I am and how I live than by what I say. Titus says it like this in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now watch this. God says that salvation is by grace. In other words, if a man's going to go to heaven, it's because of the grace of God. Not because a man deserves it, but because a man, by God's grace, can be forgiven. And thank God that God made that possible for every one of us to be forgiven. But he says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, man, when God's grace comes into my life, man, my life is transformed. I don't really want what the world has. I want what Jesus Christ has. By the way, what Jesus has is greater than what the world has. And I thank God for that. And so I understand that we're to live a consecrated Christian life. But notice here he says, and I look at verse 15 and I marvel by this statement. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In other words, what he's saying is this. He says, you have beautiful feet. Now let's look at some feet here. Would you call those beautiful feet? Maybe that's how your feet are spiritually. Maybe that's how your feet are spiritually. Or are your feet something like this? Now those might be better looking feet, right? How about that? Maybe you have a smile on the top of your foot. You know, the idea is that when you look at it from the scriptures, God takes ugly feet and makes them beautiful. You know what God is saying? Here's what God says. God says that he wants your feet to be beautiful. And how they're beautiful is as you're obedient to his calling in your life. As you find your purpose, as you do what God wants you to do, as you fulfill the purpose and the plan of God for your life, that you live in this world and obey Christ and live for him, and you let Christ be seen before others. James says it like this, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, our walk reflects Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. And as my feet are obedient to God, as I walk in the pathway that God wants me to walk, here's what God says, I have beautiful feet. Thank God for beautiful feet that's given to us. And what's really interesting in the context of where Paul's quoting that is in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 17. And in that passage, that's where the prophet is saying this. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And what he's saying is this. He says, you know, when you and I live like we ought to live and obey God and go out and serve God and reflect, if you would, the gospel in our life, then people are going to say, I don't know what you have, but it's something different than what I have. I want what you got. But then secondly, we are to live a consistent life. A consistent life. If you notice in verse number 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The idea is that we, as we grow in our walk with God, as our faith is increased, as we develop our relationship with him, that comes as we're yielding ourselves to God's holy word. God builds within our life. In other words, we have biblical habits that are surrendered to God. And through the work of God, that means we listen, we consecrate, we ask God to teach me, and we respond in God's to God's word, and our lives are changed from the inside out. That's our purpose. Are you fulfilling your purpose? You see, I believe this. I believe that every one of us, we can be a fulfill that purpose by in our own life as we go out individually. I had one person tell me this. You know, he says, you know, I prayed about this job, and God put me in this workplace, and if you only know how bad that work environment is, I really don't get it. Why would God put me in a workplace where everyone is not, all of them are, they're non-believers, and they don't care about the things of God? I don't understand why God put me there. And I thought, I know why. God put you there to be a light in a dark place. Maybe the reason why you're in a workplace where it's ungodly is because God needs a light there. You're the light. You know, we need to be a light and salt and light to this world, no doubt about that. But then also as we come together as a church body, that we're fulfilling that purpose corporately. And I don't know about you, but I like going out with somebody else and maybe knocking doors or sharing the gospel or talking to people. It's encouraging to have somebody with you. And I think that's very, very important as well. And so I want to encourage you, find a place, give back, be involved in community outreach. Great opportunity. Thomas Carlyle said this about purpose. He said, a man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given you. There are many Christians that just have not fulfilled that purpose. You might be sitting here saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I've been saved for a long time, but I just don't feel fulfilled. I think there's something missing. I remember years ago, a lady come and she trusted Christ as Savior, and she left, and she said, you know, I just don't feel like I have it all. And I was thinking, you really don't. Not until you find your purpose, and the purpose is telling others about Christ. Someone said to me one time, well, don't you think our main purpose is to glorify God? Absolutely. No doubt about that. But how do we glorify God? One way we glorify God certainly is by telling others about Jesus. Here's what Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I've quoted a lot of different people in this message, but I'm going to tell you something. The one that stands above them all is that one right there. Jesus said, that's your purpose. That's my purpose. That's why we have a missions program here at our church. That's why we have an outreach program at our church. That's why we have a bus ministry at our church. That's why we give an invitation at the end of the service in our church. That's what it's all about. If we miss that purpose, we've missed it all. And may God help every one of us to take that very personal. And may we understand what our purpose is as a believer in Christ. Heavenly Father.